And if you'd like to follow along with me, he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, one of the things that we have shared together tonight is a unity. We have had an opportunity tonight to fulfill what this passage is talking about. Because what has occurred? We have shared in a like-mindedness. See, that's what he's saying right here. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, he says, fulfill my joy. That phrase, fulfill my joy, could literally be, make my joy complete. Nothing brings more joy to the heart of the preacher than unity. Sometimes you don't always have the opportunity to hear or to experience what God is doing from this side of the room. You know, because as a preacher, you come with the purpose to preach. And we're not here to preach ourselves, but we're here to preach Jesus and Him crucified. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to preach ourselves. And so opinions don't mean anything. Only God's Word means everything. The desire of my heart is that right there, is to bring us into a place of unity. And he talks about how to do that right here. He says that unity comes by, verse 2, being like-minded. The word like-minded, it literally means thinking the same way. Now think for just a moment. Is it possible that everyone in this room could think the same way? Think about that. Well, you know how hard it is if you're married to think the same way as your wife or your husband. But unity is possible. I've been married 12 years, and I can say that, you know, my wife and I have never had any fights, or we've never did a lot of screaming at each other or anything like that. Usually what happens when we are mad at one another, we both get quiet, so that just kind of works, you know what I mean? She's quiet and I'm quiet, and we don't say nothing. But the thing that God puts in our heart is the desire to reconcile. And you know how humbling that is. When you know you're right. Well, it's hard for her too when she knows she's right. But you know you have to be willing to put things aside. You have to be willing to say that the relationship is more important than me making my point. Or me on my hobby horse. You know? I think that's true in the church, because really the church is relationships. There are relationships all over in here. We're a family. We sing that, don't we? We're the family of God. Because that's true. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have one God and one Father. We have one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you the question. If we have one God and Father, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one faith, one baptism. Sounds like Paul, doesn't it? That's what he says. Can we be one? Well, listen to what else he says here. He says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, or by thinking the same way. And then he says this, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. the same love. Now, prior to Christ, no way they have the same love. We heard the testimonies tonight. All of us, prior to Christ, are lost. We're without hope. We're dead. We really don't have the capacity to love. We don't have the capacity to show kindness or compassion or reach out to one another or even to say, I'm sorry when you've blown it. But it's in Christ that we have the ability to have that. Because we have all experienced the love of God, haven't we? Right? We know that verse in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We all have been given His love. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 5 that it's been shed abroad in our heart by who? The Holy Spirit. Can we be one? If we have one God, one Father, we have one Lord Jesus Christ, we have one Holy Spirit, and in that we have received salvation and redemption and forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of God in our heart, can we be one? Well, in order for us to be one, we have to think the same things. Which means that we have to also believe the same things. Right? You will only find, coming from this pulpit right here, preaching the same things. I won't let anybody get up there and preach something different. Nor will I preach anything different. Because preaching promotes unity. Teaching of the Word of God gives us the ability to be unified. Just look over in chapter 3, in verse 16. The end of the verse, he says, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now, if we couldn't be that way, then there would be no reason for him to tell us to be that way. Go over to chapter 4, and at this point he had to name some names. In verse 2 he says, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind. Now, where is he telling them to be of the same mind? What's the rest of the phrase? In the Lord. That's the only way we can be unified, is in the Lord. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 8. He says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now let me ask you this. If we're told to be of one mind, we're told to think the same way, we're told to be unified, how are we going to do that? How are we going to have the same love? We have the same God. We have the same Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same faith. Peter mentions that in the verse. He says, have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Now, if we're all doing that, what will it promote? Unity. But see, we all have to want it. Right? We all have to want it. And we all have to want peace. You know, it says over in Romans chapter 12, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on you. That means you're not responsible for the person who can't come to peace. You're responsible for you. Now that also means if you're responsible for you, then don't provoke anything else other than peace. Right? Because that's what depends on you. Go over there to Romans 12. Look what he says there. Verse 16. He says, be of the same mind toward one another. Sounds like the same message. But again, he tells us how to do that. He says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And then here's this verse. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, going back there to Philippians, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, we can make His joy, we can make the heart of the preacher's joy complete by being like-minded. Now, when we're not like-minded, over in Hebrews 13, He tells us what happens. He says over in verse 17, He says, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. And then He says this, for that would be unprofitable for who? For you. You see, the heart of the preacher is grieved when there is divisiveness and lack of unity, but the unprofitableness is yours. Because when we get to that place when we're disunified, we also stop growing, we stop learning, we stop humbling ourselves, we get out of the place where we can't hear what we need to hear, because it's only through the path of humility can we hear. It's only through humility can we truly hear what God is saying to us. What does He tell us? God resists the proud, but He does what? He gives grace to the humble. Three ways He says to do this. And we've already noted them. Just say them again. Having the same love, He says, being of one accord. And that phrase right there, being of one accord, it literally means soul with soul. Because see, we are connected to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know that? There is no distinction between, as Paul says, Jew and Greek, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but we're all one in Christ. See, all the barriers have been broken down. There's no difference between you and me. No difference between any of us in here, because we have the same Lord. See, we have the opportunity, because of Christ in our life, to fulfill what this is saying right here. But we all have to want it, right? Well, He goes on to say, He says here, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. And that phrase right there, of one mind, it literally means think the one thing, or be intent on one purpose. Now, if you had only one thing to remember, I think we could remember it, couldn't we? Just one thing. And you know, we say that one thing over and over and over and over. Can anybody tell me what that one thing is, that one purpose that we have? It's only one. Okay? That's part of it. Certainly part of it. Anybody want to add to it? Anybody? Say it one more time. To be like God. That also is part of it. How do you come to be like God? How do you come to serve Him? You don't give another try? That's all part of it. Correct? That's all part of it. Michael? That's it. See, all that goes with it, right? Because you got to do what Greg just said, that he quoted from Matthew 16. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. You've got to follow Christ to become a believer, right? To become a disciple. But as a church, what's our one purpose? Tell people about Christ. That's our purpose. If I could add to that purpose, because you've got people that come to know Christ And we don't need to keep telling the people that know Christ how to get saved when they're already saved. So what is another part of that purpose? Katie mentioned about serving God. I mentioned it this morning. It's phrased in so many different ways. Building up the body, edifying the body, growing the body, maturing the body, equipping the body, reaching and teaching. And if we could add that third part to that, it would be sending out. You know, being intent on one purpose is not very hard, but the problem is if we lose sight of the purpose, we can't be intent on it, can we? Can we? Amen. God has a purpose for His church. That's where the table comes in. Because this is the place where we're unified. Because Jesus Christ died for each one of us. And every time we partake of this table, we're all given an opportunity to look back. We're all given an opportunity to look at what He did for us. See, you heard tonight what He did for a few people in here, but all of us, if we know Jesus personally, should be able to stand up and give testimony of what He's done for you. If He saved you. All of us were in different places. We all have the same testimony. It's just told different ways because we were all in different circumstances when we came to know Christ. But we all received Jesus the same way. We all have to believe. We all have to repent of sin. We all have to recognize Jesus is Lord. I mean, the Bible uses all these different terms to talk about salvation. But all of us don't have the same circumstances by which He brought us to that place to realize that we needed Him. That's your testimony. When you're sharing with somebody about Jesus Christ and how He came real in your life, that's what you're telling them. That's what you're sharing with them. How did He become real to you? Over in Acts chapter 1, I just want to show you this before we share together in the Lord's table. Because when you talk about being intent on one purpose, it's easy to find this in the Scripture. Confession to you, I prepared this in about an hour ago. Because it's not a hard subject. Not hard at all. Because we find unity all over the Word of God. You go into Acts chapter 1, and you read there in verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." And then go over to verse 14. There they were waiting. It says that these all continued with one accord. That's the unity, one purpose of mind, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. They were all there with one plan. Wait. And what are you going to do if you're waiting? You pray. We live in such a fast-paced society, it's hard to wait on anything. We start having apoplexy when we're sitting there in Burger King drive-thru, and you're saying, I could have went in and come out quicker than this drive-thru is moving. You know? I mean, we freak out if we don't get it now. You're talking about waiting? I mean, you go to the doctor, what's the room you sit in? The waiting room. Well, he says here that they were all in one accord. And that doesn't mean they drove a Honda. Go over to chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place." Go over to verse 46. This is after Peter preaches that sermon. 3,000, you have some salvations taking place there. And of course, he gives the result of that in verse 47. But listen to what it says in verse 46. "And continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Do you think our unity could have anything to do with our growth? You see, if we're unified, people want that. Man, they want to be there. You know, when you all get along and we all have the same intent, the same purpose, we're all doing the same thing, no one here is trying to get ahead of one another. You know? Again, this is the place where we're brought to that commonness. We have all this in common. Now let me say something just for a minute. And I'm going to ask the men that are going to be helping right here, just go ahead and come. And if you could just go ahead and come up here to the front. And while I say this, you know, right here is where we have an opportunity for commonness, an opportunity for us to share together in one intent and one purpose. And because we're remembering together. This is an opportunity for us to be unified. But you know what the table also symbolizes? It symbolizes the death of sin, doesn't it? Because it was at the foot of the cross where you came, right? And you laid your sins down. You obeyed what Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 says, "Come to me all ye are labor and are heavy laden." Y'all sit down. Can't see over you. But this is the place where we have that opportunity. Now, I've been very general in everything I've said. I said some things Sunday night, and I really have no desire to get deep here or say too much or say too little or anything like that. But I know a lot of people have been experiencing discouragement here lately. I was preparing a radio program for next week, the weekend program, and I was cutting the second one for it. It's an interesting task to do this because there's so many processes to go through to get to the finished product. But when I was in the middle of what they call editing it, the first phrase that came on where it was to start was talking about discouragement. You know what the whole series is on that's going to be airing next week? Exposing the enemy. And talking about how Satan works in our lives. And at that particular point in that message, I was talking about how he discourages us. He does do that, doesn't he? How many of you have been discouraged here lately? Isn't this amazing? I shared with you last week that one of the families left. I got home the other day and got an email and another family has decided to leave. You know, it's easy not to take that personally, you know. But God's got His purpose. I just have to trust Him, and so do you. And we have to just know God is doing something here to make us unified. Now, I'm not saying that anybody leaving or these people leaving is going to help us be unified. But maybe what it can do is draw us together and say, listen, we can carry the burden. Each of us can carry one another's burdens, right? We're not willing to talk about it. How can we carry it? Right? Sometimes we talk about it too late. We talk about it when it's come to the place where you can't do nothing else about it. You've already made up your mind. You're selling out of here. I want us tonight, as we take of the Lord's table, I want us to come back. You know, it says over in Revelation chapter 2 that when you come to the realization that you have left your first love, He tells you right there, remember from where you have fallen. He wants you to go back. I want you to do the same thing tonight, because a lot of us raised our hands in here tonight about discouragement. We're probably raising them in the nursery too. But I want you to go back. Why are you discouraged? I was listening to a tape one day, and I wasn't too happy about this statement that was said on it. Aaron's heard it. He basically said to the preacher, he said, "Expect nothing because you deserve nothing." That's pretty profound. It's also hard to live that way, isn't it? Because we all have expectations. We all have things we want to see happen. Well, as we take up this table tonight, men, go ahead and come and let's go ahead and pass this around. As we take up this table tonight, will you be willing to remember? Will you be willing to go back? Will you be willing to go to that place to maybe where there's been a departure. And just be honest with the Lord. And ask Him, Lord, I don't know why I'm discouraged. I don't know why I feel this way, but I do. And Lord, I don't know how to get out of this. I keep trying to get out of this, but I can't get out of it. I think that's the place where we begin to go back and do what Philippians 2 talks about. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What did He do? He humbled Himself. Well, I'm going to pause just for a minute, let Trina play some music and pass around the bread right here. And, men, when you receive this, will you immediately just bow your head and pray and take this opportunity and talk to the Lord and fellowship with Him, worship Him? Maybe you might want to move to another place. Maybe you might want to come get on your knees, on your face before the Lord. Let's have a place of communion tonight with the Lord. A place where we can share in unity and go back and remember what He's done for us. None of us deserve to be here tonight, do we? None of us. None of us deserve to have the Lord's mercy or the Lord's grace. But He chose to give that to us. You know that passage of Scripture there in 1 Corinthians 11 where it talks about the Lord's Supper and Paul having to deal with that issue because they were abusing it. Right before he talks about it, listen to what he says. He says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper." There was no unity. They were in one place, but they weren't there intent on one purpose. When they were together, it wasn't for the better, it was for the worse. Sometimes dealing with discouragement in our life is certainly constantly going to the Lord. That's obviously how you deal with it. Constantly go to Him. I think when I read the Psalms, I read David doing exactly that. I was reminded one day when I was listening to one morning to Erwin Lutzer, he was talking about David running from the Lord. Do you know how long he ran? Or not from the Lord, but from Saul. How long he ran from him? 10 years. 10 years. That's a long time. Do you think he was discouraged? He was discouraged. What's he say there? Be of the same love. Be of one accord. 10 on the same purpose. See, for some of us, it's just simply making up our mind we're going to be on that purpose, right? For others, we're kind of confused because the enemy has done his work and has been pretty good at it. That sent confusion. How can we be brought back to that place? How can we come to that place of unity? Father, the only way I know is coming to You. God, many of us have met together and we prayed and we have been praying and praying. Lord, we see that the only way that things can be in a positive direction, of a way where we can be encouraged in You, is that we release the kind of expectations that we have of one another and we put those expectations on You. David said that his expectation came from the Lord. Lord, I know we expect so much from one another. But Lord, help us to put that expectation on You. I know that we look around and we see so much that we would like to see happen. But Lord, help us to put that expectation on You. Lord, even we look around sometimes and we want things to happen, but maybe sometimes we don't realize we're the answer to making that happen. Lord, tonight as we come together in the table, it is a table of blessing because it is a place where we are unified. It's a place where we can come and confess our sin, a place where we can come and remember what You did for each of us. Each of us share that same common experience of salvation. Each of us have come to know You the same way. And Lord, You are rich in mercy to us to give us salvation. God, I want to pray for those who raised their hands right now that said, I'm discouraged. Lord, I don't know what is the content of all of that. For them, I know what I have experienced. I know what my family has experienced and a few that have shared with me things. But Lord, show us how that we can unify, how that we can be compassionate to one another, how that, Lord, we can be courteous and kind to one another, how that we can display those kinds of attitudes that would bring about unity. But Lord, we all have to want it, and I pray that You would put in our heart that want it. And Lord, as we share in this table right now, and I pray that we would fully understand the price that was paid for each of us, and fully understand how that through the table that You have brought us into a union with Your Son. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Thank you. Let me ask you this question. You know, when you see so many hands being raised, when you ask a question that was asked a moment ago, I don't want to ask everyone what they're discouraged about, because I know when you're in a room, and if everybody talks about what they're discouraged about, what happens? We all leave discouraged. I want to talk about solution. Anybody know the solutions to discouragement? Say it louder, Greg.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. What do you think of that? Is it possible? What did Paul do when he had this messenger of Satan that was sitting to buffet him? He said he prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it. The Lord decided not to remove it. What did he say? He would rather boast in his infirmities. What was he doing there? He was praising the Lord. Can you praise the Lord in spite of what you feel? Someone wrote a book one time, says emotions, can you trust them? Can you? They lie to you, don't they? It's just like first impressions sometimes. We find out they're not always what they seem to tell us, are they? Because we find out later, hey, you're not as bad as I thought the first time I met you. Right? I want us to find solutions to what we're feeling. And the place to go is God. The place to go is to praise the Lord in spite of what you feel, what you experience. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your disappointments and your pains. And we all have them, don't we? Anybody else want to add to that? What Greg said? Can we add anything to that? Katie. Sounds good to me. What do y'all think? Amen. Mike seconds that. Anybody else want to add to that? Come on, let's think solutions. Aaron. What is being said through discouragement? What is being said right there? We're not trusting. Something has caused us to be turned to where? To ourself, right? Maybe we've been disappointed. Maybe something didn't go the way we wanted it to go. You think discouragement is a sin? What do you think? Why? And to sum it up was what Faye just said. When we're discouraged, we stop trusting the Lord. We begin to take the matters in our own hands at that point. We begin to solve our own problems. We begin to find our own solutions. It doesn't work, does it? How many of you tried to find your own solution to what you're discouraged about? Has it worked yet? In order for us to be unified, we've got to come to the same place. All of us. No one in here is exempt from that. As a church, we must have one purpose. We're here to proclaim the gospel of Christ. We're here to take those who know Jesus Christ and mature them by the Word of God, which means there has to be preaching and teaching, because that's how we're matured. And then we have to be willing to get off our southern hemisphere, that's your behind, and go and tell somebody about what you've learned. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. You know, yesterday we had about a dozen people here that went out and shared the Lord yesterday. I was excited about that. But I want to tell you, I let some of my discouragement overtake me. I told Aaron when we got there, said, Aaron, I really don't know how many people are going to show up. I got rebuked by the Lord for that. Because see, it's so easy to take our discouragement and share it with each other. And then we start passing around our discouragement. Sometimes, have you ever been, you got mad and you don't know why you got mad, but it turned out if you analyzed it, you got mad because you were just with somebody that was mad. You know? So we need to turn the tables. Instead of reacting to the climate, we need to control it. Control what is occurring. Be of the same mind, he says. Are we of the same mind right now? Are we? We share together in the table of the Lord. He died for you and for me. And this is the opportunity for us to remember that, what He has done. Amen? Have you remembered? If you aren't excited about the Lord anymore, the Lord Himself said, remember from where you have fallen. And repent. And do the first works. Go back and do the things you did when you were excited about the Lord. Go and stir that back up. You say, well, I've been inviting people over and over and they just won't come. Keep inviting. I've been sharing the Lord with so many people and I hear people get up and say that they got saved and they share with somebody and they got saved. I never led anybody to the Lord and I share and I share. Don't stop. Keep doing it. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer when you want Him to answer. Be obedient. See, that's where we do separate our emotions, is that we have to be obedient to Him and do what the Word of God says. But let me tell you this. If we want a solution to discouragement, we're all going to have to come to the same place, and that's His Word. And that means that you need to pick it up and you need to read it and you need to ask God to help you understand it and help you live it. Well, when they met together that night, it says in the same manner that Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He says, this do as often as you drink it. What's He say? In remembrance of me. Worship Him now.